buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 10 minutes after, actually 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and for the next couple of hours, we're tied together. So from 10 to 11 and 11 to 12, we're talking about cars, and you're more than welcome to participate in the car discussion. You can call us if you have a problem, if you want to bounce off of us the idea that someone else said you needed, or the car you should buy, or the tires you should buy. We're willing to give you our opinion on any of that. We'll guide you the best we can, and it's not going to be guiding you in a self-serving way. We're truly looking out for your best interests. I've got nothing to sell you. I don't have any magic lotion that's going to make your car run for the rest of its life. I don't have any of that, but what I am is I am a master tech, and I've been around a long time. I've been in the auto repair industry since 1979, and I do know right from wrong. So if you want to join us, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Air Park Auto. Nadine and Stacy opened Air Park Auto in 1985. They're located on Raintree, just east of Hayden, which is just south of Frank Lloyd Wright. They're family-owned and operated. They've been on my best car repair shops in Phoenix list for years. Air Park Auto is a state-of-the-art. It's clean and it's green. They have the latest diagnostic tools and services that most makes and models of cars and trucks can handle. So if you live in the North Scottsdale area, I am real sure you'd be happy with the service you receive at Air Park Auto Service. Well, I have something sad I kind of want to talk to you about, so if you'll indulge me for just a few minutes, I'd appreciate it. A friend of mine, Dave Lansbury, passed away from cancer not too long ago. He was a real man when it came to standing up and raising his hand when me and others sat in the audience and claimed we were busy. Like all of us, he ran an independent auto he actually ran our independent auto repair association for about 10 years. And when he was there, he got things done. Now, Dave was a technician and a diagnostician as well, and he was the owner of a shop in Youngstown. It was called Dave's Auto, and it was right off Grand and 111th Avenue. Dave wasn't like the rest of us in many good ways, and in some ways, Dave was better than the rest of us. Dave had long hair when many shop owners, we didn't. He rode a Harley, and he looked absolutely normal and non-threatening on his motorcycle. Many of us thought Dave was a renegade hippie, and had we said that to him, he would have just laughed or smiled. All of us in the independent auto repair field, we owe Dave a debt of gratitude for two important reasons. Number one, he was one of the first and best diagnosticians I ever heard about and ever met. Long before guys like me and many others, Dave could find and fix problems that other shops would bring to him. We often said that Dave could talk to cars. He could listen to noises. He could listen to engines. He could find misses and no start conditions available, like factory scan tools and information that we wouldn't have otherwise had access to. You see, back in the 1998 and 2000, the independent car repair market would probably have blown away, because the car makers and the dealers would have taken over the market because they refused to allow shops like mine and Dave's to buy or use or be trained on specialized equipment that we would need to properly diagnose and repair your car. So Dave and others all over the United States, but Dave specifically for Arizona, had been in the front lines of the battles with the government and the vehicle manufacturers to make sure that all of us independent auto repair shops would have the same access to tools and the data as the dealers did. But all of us still hear about dealers telling our customers that we, Mark Salem, his auto repair shop, and many others in town, we don't have the capability to diagnose your car or to talk to your car, or to reflash the software in your car, or to install updated software. And all of us know that that's a lie, and it's a lie because of Dave and how his hard work to make that happen, pretty much nationwide. Unbeknownst to most of us, Dave had been fighting a private battle with cancer. Dave's fight with cancer was akin to his battles with the vehicle manufacturers and the government officials. They couldn't be convinced that keeping their repair tools and information private or proprietary was wrong. They didn't listen to reason. Well, as many of you know, cancer doesn't listen to reason either. Dave's cancer took his life, and like many, his cancer impacted his personal finances and the finances of his loved ones. So over the years, I've helped many radio listeners and many friends and many neighbors, many customers, with their car problems, and I've never charged them a dime. And I'm proud to say that almost everyone asks how much they owe me or where to send a check, and I always ask them, just pay it forward. So if you ever felt like you wanted to do something nice for me, I respectfully ask that you make a donation to Dave's family. So you can go to GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. And in the search bar, I want you to type Dave. And because his last name is spelled in an unusual way, I want you to go Dave and then L-A-N-S-P. L-A-N-S-P, which is the beginning of his Lansbury. His name is actually spelled L-A-N-S-P, and then it's E-A-R-Y, an unusual spelling. But I went in this morning, and if you punch in Dave, L-A-N-S-P, you'll find Dave. And if you make a donation to his family, I'd appreciate it. You can do it anonymously, or you can use your name. It doesn't make any difference. I know that Dave's family will appreciate your effort.
Tammy is your first caller, Tammy.
Tammy, good morning to you. How can we help you this morning?
It's Cammy with a C.
Okay, Cammy. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. Just a question. The other day, on my dashboard, I got a light that said service airbag.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering if that's usual, or is that something that they're perhaps a short? And I, just like you were saying, I do not like going to the dealerships because they can have always kind of, I always feel like they're overcharging.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, first of all, the light is yellow or orange, yes?
I think it was, yeah, orange, I think.
Okay, perfect. And orange means caution. And yellow and orange means caution, and a red means stop, you know, just as soon as possible. But your airbag light is typically orange, and what it's telling you is, it's telling you that the airbag system is down. So
okay.
If you get in a crash, the airbag's not likely to come out of the steering wheel and protect you from having your head and your face go through the windshield. Now, how many miles does your car have on it?
How many miles do I have on it?
Yes.
35,000 and 35,600, something like that.
Okay. What year is the car?
2011.
Okay. Most of the time, the only...
Oh, 210. My husband said 210.
Okay. Most of the time, when the system loses track of something, it's usually under the passenger seat where someone was vacuuming under the passenger seat and dislodged a connection or something like that, or there is a what we call a clock spring. It's a part of a device that's in your steering wheel and underneath your steering wheel. And you have to imagine that we have to keep track of your steering wheel. And because the steering wheel moves left and right, we have to have some kind of a funky device that half of the device stays in one place and the other half has to wind and unwind to the left and to the right. That clock spring goes bad. And when the computer loses sight of the airbag in the steering wheel because this clock spring is bad or broken, then it turns on the light. So you can go anywhere you want, and what you say to them is, I have an airbag light on, and it's yellow or orange. What is your diagnostic fee to determine specifically what's wrong with my car? And I think the answer, depending on where you go, is going to be as little as 50 and as much as 150.
Okay. I did call one place, and they said just to do the diagnostic was 110.
Okay, so that's between my 50 and 150.
Right, right, right.
I'm not here to advertise my shop, but we quote that at 75 to 125.
Okay.
All right. Now, after that, you're going to pay that no matter what, but after that, then there's going to be a part and a labor, or under the best of conditions, during the diagnostic process, they find a bad connection. So then it sounds like this. Cammie, it was $84 worth of labor and $3 to fix the bad connection and your car's fixed. Now,
right.
Don't count on that. But let's talk about it in real terms. You have a diagnostic fee and then a part and then a labor to install the part. That's the more likely scenario. Now, do you have a repair garage that does your oil changes that you already trust?
Yeah, I don't drive much, so I've gone to one place a couple of times.
Okay. So we all have scanners, and we can talk to the computer. And so you plug in, and you say, hey, good morning. And it says yawn, yawn, and it might, you know, snore a little bit. And you say, hey, I noticed that you had a diagnostic trouble code. We call it a DTC. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. Can you give me the number for that? PO405. Okay. And what is that? What are you telling me? I see a fault in the airbag system. Okay. Then I punch in and I say, can you see the airbag module? Yes, I can. Do you have contact with the passenger side airbag, the curtain airbags, the backseat airbags, the driver's airbags? And one of those, it'll say no.
Right.
And then at that point, we'll go then to the connector. And we'll disconnect the connector, and we'll down the airbag system because we don't want that airbag to pop because it's $1,000. Boom, that fast.
Oh, boy.
So we'll go in there, and we'll start checking connections, and we have electronic devices that we measure ohms or volts or amps, and we'll come to the conclusion this is what needs to be done.
Okay.
So I want to tell you something. This is really serious because I don't want your head hitting the steering wheel at 50 miles an hour. I would much rather your head hit a big inflated pillow than having your head hit the dashboard of the steering wheel at 50 miles an hour. So this is something I would want you to have taken care of as soon as you can.
Okay, yeah. Right. Okay, so it is something I should not ignore.
Yeah, it's a bad idea to ignore because I think you're rolling the dice. And
and
here's even worse. The worst case scenario can be this. You loan your car to somebody else. They have an accident. Then they turn around and sue you because you ignored the airbag problem. And because of that, they had more damage to their nose or their eyes. And so so for the time being, just let's focus on getting it diagnosed and fixed, okay?
Okay, good.
Thank you, Cammie.
Well,
thank you
for that all that information. I greatly appreciate it, and it's a great show. Thank you.
Thank you very much. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and there's five of them. When we come back, we'll take your call. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Let me tell you real quick about Thompson's Auto Repair, and then we're going to take two callers that we've got. Thompson's Auto Repair has been around since 1970. They're in Mesa. They're the only shop in Mesa that I put my name with because they're a good shop. They're honest, and they're dependable. They have ASE-certified technician. And Brian and Thelma, the owners of Thompson's Auto Repair, they know the difference between right and wrong. And they're smart enough to know when the technician walks in with a line of BS. That doesn't happen there, but they're smart enough to know. So if you don't have a repair shop and you live in Mesa, may I suggest Thompson's Auto Repair. Now, they're on Main Street just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. They've been around a long time, like I said. They're good, honest people. And I'm quite sure that if you stop by for something simple like a tire rotation or an oil change, you'll understand why they're on my list. Because they're good, they're honest, and they're dependable. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing on Main Street and Stapley just east on the south side of the road. Dan, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hi. Yeah, I believe you can walk on water because you know where the rocks are.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So on the 77 Dodge pickup truck, the back tank is plastic. I've had it welded twice, and it still seems to want to rub a little leak in it. If I go to your shop on Warner, you think they could track down another tank for that?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll shortcut it for you. I want you to call Monday and talk to Jeff. He is my parts manager. He is a very impressive guy. He's worked for us for more than 10, maybe even 15 years. And here's what I do. I just challenge him. I'll walk into his office and I'll say to him, oh, geez, I got something for you here. I got this guy, Dan. He's got an old 77 Chevy truck. And he's got
Dodge.
A plastic. Oh, yeah, a Dodge truck and got a plastic tank. And he says that there is nobody in the whole wide world that has a tank for this or a what we call NOS, new old stock. And I said, you know what? Jeff just hit his head not too long ago, but I'll ask him if he'll do this. Now, I'm giving you permission to call and ask for Jeff. I'm going to tell my staff Dan's going to have that privilege. I don't let other people do it because we're really in the repair business. We're not in the chasing parts business.
Well, but I was going to have your shop if they found one. I was going to have them install it.
Oh,
so that's the gift.
No. That's fine. That's fine. But Jeff's actually downstairs. Today we're closed, but we're actually got the shop open because there are churches that use our shop on Saturdays, and they bring in single moms and single ladies' cars, and the men in the church do work on the ladies' cars. And my technicians supervise the guys.
Sure.
And so that's what's happening right now, but we're closed. But you can call Jeff. His name is Jeff Mitchell. He's a guru, and you're going to need your VIN number, and you're going to need the production date, which is on the sticker on the door, and it's in the upper left-hand corner. And for instance, you said it's a 77, so it'll say like 06/77. That means it was made in June of 1977. He'll need to know four-wheel drive, two-wheel drive, long bed, short bed, what kind of cab you have, and the filler neck is on the passenger side, driver's side. You'll be prepared for all that.
All right.
But, yes, he can help you. And if he can find one, you can buy it, install yourself, or we'll install for you, whatever you want.
I was going to say something that wouldn't be appropriate, so I'll just say thank you.
I appreciate that.
That's real. You know what?
Hey, you know, I got to tell you something. I sit in the GM's office enough without your help, okay? And it always starts off with the conversation, did you really say this? And the answer is, you know doggone well I said it because you probably listened to the tape. And then he looks down his glasses and he says, you need to knock that off. I say, okay, I won't do that again. He goes, you know, I'd like to just go a month without having you in my office. And I said, what fun would that be? So anyway, thank you, Dan. Thank you very much.
Sure, I'll get them numbers and be prepared. Thank
okay.
you, Michelle.
Thank you. Bruce, you're next. Bruce, how can I help you?
Hey, Mark, I got one for you. I've got a 2012 Toyota Avalon, and I've had this for about a year. I've had Avalon before, but never had this happen in any car. Back out of the garage, every time I back out of the garage, there's a clicking noise with the brakes. And I had the super-duper guy at the mechanic at the dealer drive it, listen to it. He says, yeah, they've had that problem. Which sounds plausible, the brake pads moving back and forth. When you pull in the garage, they go forward, you back out, they click backward. He says, for $100, I can put some lube on it, it'll quiet it down, but it won't make it go away, and that's the fix. Is there any real fix?
Well, first of all, you know, it's hard to, I'm gathering myself up here, okay? I'm just gathering myself. All right, I got your answer. I'm just trying to figure out in a Christian way how I can say it. All right. If you can duplicate this any way you want, go forward and then gently apply the brakes, or hard apply your brakes hard, then put it in reverse and back up and then hit the brakes. And I think he's right. I think the brake pads are sliding forward and back. They make a hardware kit, and the hardware kit's job is to hold the pad in the caliper. And most of the time, a hardware kit, which is about $20 to $30 for your Avalon, is all it needs. Now, it is possible that we can take the pads out and glue the back. And what we're basically doing is we're going to put this sticky boogery kind of stuff on there, and it's going to stick it to the caliper, and it's going to stick it to the piston on the caliper. And that's going to knock a lot of it off. But $100 just seems like a lot of money. Now, if you had a regular garage and you said to them, I'd like you to rotate my tires, what would you charge me to pop the pads out and spray some of that boogers on both sides of the outside of the pads and reinstall them? I think most shops figure that that's a $35, $40 job along with the tire rotation.
Okay.
So you already got the front tires off, so why don't we just do it then? So that's sure. what I think you should explore. Now, first, I want you to call a couple auto parts store and say, do you have a hardware kit for my Avalon?
Is this an add-on part or is it a replacement of something that's already on there, this hardware kit?
It depends, but most of the time, the hardware kit wasn't reinstalled or the parts were thrown away during a brake job.
I've never had that done. It's only got 58,000 miles on it.
Okay. Then the hardware kit is some springs that push against the pads
and hold them in
position. And obviously, after 58,000 miles, you've been around the world two times in that car, the springs are probably worn out.
Okay.
So, but I want to tell you something. You're never going to wreck the car because of this. It's never going to cost you any more money than this. And the real cheap way to eliminate this problem is just turn the radio up a little louder. But I want to put you at ease because this isn't going to hurt anything.
Right. No, I guess I understood that, yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it. Okay.
Hey, Mark, thanks a lot.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Hey, when we come back, I'm going to tell you a story about somebody that took her car in to a repair shop. And they told her it needed $1,500 worth of work. And after that, it gets kind of crazy. And part of what gets crazy is what the shop refused to do. So this is a lesson for all of you as well. It's when you get that big estimate,
1 minute.
I'm going to teach you what to say. And I practice what I preach. So you can come in the back door of my shop and you can do the same thing to us. I don't care. Because I know we're not going to get caught in this situation. And then I've got another ticket here that says you need a fuel system flush, a brake system flush, a transmission flush, a differential flush, and a power steering flush. And we call that a wallet flush. We call that a wallet flush. But yet, when you get that wallet flush menu, what do you say? What do you do? So we're going to talk about both of these things when we come back. We'll be gone for 3 minutes. In 20 seconds, we'll be on for 3.5 minutes. So you can wait that long. But if you want to give us a call, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. My name is Mark Salem. This is KKNT 960. And I'm here every Saturday from 10 to noon right here on 960 AM.
All about that.
Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here till 12 noon. And if you want to join us, you can at 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by S&S Tire. S&S Tire has three locations. They've been open since 1976. They have Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. At S&S Tire, they have a comprehensive line of tires and many different brands of the same size, which means you can give them your size, tell them what kind of application you have, what car, what year, what make, what model, all that stuff, cars, trucks, UVs, SUVs, and then they could, if you ask them to, give you a good, better, best price out the door for a set of tires for your car. So they have that kind of coverage. Now, if you have farm equipment, golf equipment, lawn or garden equipment, ATV, or you have a trailer, or you have a commercial, or you need construction tires, they have those too. You ought to see their warehouse. I think it's as big as a football field, but I could be wrong. S&S will balance your new tires, and they do alignments and suspension work. So if you're looking for tires or anything to do with suspension or steering, then maybe visit one of the S&S Tire locations located in the West Valley, Peoria, Surprise, or Goodyear. S&S Tire. Peter, good morning. How can I help you this morning?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I have some curb rash on my three of my four wheels. I guess I wasn't making my turns as carefully as I would you recommend to take care of. It's not major damage. It's just, like I say, a rash.
Okay. This is a common question, believe it or not. Do you have a pencil handy?
I sure do. I just ran and got one.
Okay.
No, I need you.
I want you to call Alan, and his phone number is 480-598-1234, and his last name is the same as mine, and he knows the two or three places in town that can bid that work. Now, depending on how much that's there, you may very well find that the fix is far more expensive than what you're seeing. But we've had some pretty severe hits on some very expensive wheels, and these guys have taken care of us in a way that we're exceptionally happy with. So, Alan...
Yeah, this is only on the lip portion, so it's not really... There's no nothing's bent or anything like that. And I did go to one place, and he wanted $150 a wheel, and that seemed awfully high to me.
Well, I mean, here's the low side of it. We just take the car and put it up on the rack, and we spin the wheel, and we put a grinder, a real fine grinder, and just kind of take the ugliness off the lip, and then we get some spray paint that kind of looks like what the wheels look like, and we spin the tire, and we spin the tire, we let it dry, and we say, okay, well, by time and paint, we're done.
And do you do that at your shop?
Yes, yeah, we can do that. Now, what color are your wheels?
It's a Mercedes. They're the doll wheels, they're not the shiny wheels.
Okay.
Standard equipment. I don't have your address.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Where do you live?
In the Biltmore area.
Okay, I want you to call Goodies up in Scottsdale. Goodies.
Okay.
I want you to talk to him and ask him that question. Because you throw Mercedes-Benz into it, now all of a sudden a can of paint costs $35.
Mm-hmm.
And then we might have to go to a place and get the color number off your car.
2 minutes.
And then we're going to go to a place that's going to mix your paint, put it in a spray can so we can spray it on your wheels. Now we also have to mask off your tires in order just to spray the wheels. So I don't know that $100 a tire is a fair number. But I'm thinking that this all can be accomplished within an hour. And at our labor rate, that's $112.
Yeah.
So plus a can
of paint. He said $150 per tire.
I understand. Oh. I didn't want to repeat that $150 because it's such a silly number. So I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. So anyway, you call Alan or you call Goody. Goody does Mercedes only in Scottsdale. And I think Goody can really guide you as well as I could. You can pick which menu you like, Goody's menu or Mark's menu, you can decide.
Okay. And what's his number? Do you know that?
No, I don't have it. I have his cell phone number, but he'd kill me if I gave that to you. So it's just it's just Goody's.
Goodies.
Yeah, I think it's Goodies or it could be YS. I don't know
which. 1 minute.
All righty.
Okay. I'll look it up.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All righty. I wanted to tell you about the lady. The lady goes into the car repair place, and they tell her that she needs $1,500 worth of work, and the explanation is that she needs suspension work, and she needs two tie rod ends. And she is taken aback by that. So she says to them, we'll write down on the bill what it is and the price, and my husband's going to ask me for a more detailed explanation than you've given me, and then just write down your name and your phone number so my husband can call you. And they wouldn't do that. They wrote down suspension work, two tie rods, $1,500, and the guy that was there wouldn't sign his name. Folks, that should tell you all you need to know. So every time you go for a repair, there's two questions I want you to learn. Number one, when you're told something, oh, you need this or you need that, you say, what symptom do I have that you're going to correct with your suggested repair? Otherwise, what have I got now that you're going to fix? Tell me, is it a vibration? Is it a pull to the right? Is it a noise? What have I got now? And if they're, first of all, 9 out of 10 times you're going to hear this. That's what you're going to hear. 9 out of 10 times. Then here's the coup de grace. Write down your name and give me your phone number. If they're lying to you, they ain't signing their name, and they're not going to print their name, and they're thinking you're from the AG's office on the fraud division. So that's, and this lady did just exactly that. And this is what I said to her. Where do you live? I'm going to guide you to a shop that can look over your car. Ironically enough, she lives 3 blocks from me. I says, come on down. For free, I'm going to have my guys look at it. So we look at it, and I say to her, I can't find a single thing wrong with your car. Nothing on the suspension, nothing on the shocks, nothing on the tie rod ends, nothing on the lower control arms, the upper control arms, the rear control arms. I can't find anything wrong with your car. So I'm sorry to tell you that, but I can't find anywhere for you to spend money. I disagree with the tie rods. I disagree with the suspension stuff. If you want to pay me $1,500, I can replace the whole suspension for you for $1,500, but you don't need to. So I can't do that for everybody, but The idea and the what I want to instill in your head is what symptom are you going to fix with your tie rod repair? And here's the deal. The symptom is a click every time I turn left and right. Click, 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 click. That's a bad tie rod end. There's play in the steering wheel. That's a bad tie rod end. You don't have play, you don't have a click, there's a good chance you don't need a tie rod end. So that's why I say symptom and repair. When we come back, I've got a ticket here in front of me that you won't believe, and I'll get to that just as soon as I can. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 45 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. The lines are open, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by my buddy at Kurtz Auto Repair. Kurtz is proud to be an independent, family-owned and operated auto repair facility, and Kurt works on foreign, domestic, and diesels. Kurt has a couple of guys, Jeff and Eric. I really like Jeff and Eric. They are really good guys, and they know right from wrong. And Eric is, and both of them are master techs. Eric is the diagnostician, and Jeff runs the shop. And really, they're a great pair to draw to. So Kurt's going to be celebrating 30 years in business next month, and so we're going to do a live remote there on April 1st from 10 to 12. At Kurtz. Now, he's not going to be working in the facility, but you can meet the staff and tour their facility. But we're going to be there, and we're going to be answering questions on the air as well as before and after. So we're going to be there 10 to 12 at Kurtz, and he's at I-17 and Bell Northeast Corner. I-17 and Bell Northeast Corner. Okay, I can't be everybody's Superman, but I do my best to educate you so that you... And actually, I own the rights to this, self-defense for car expense. That says everything to me. I'm all about self-defense for car expense. So, customer brings me this on a 2008 Chevrolet 1500. It has 115,000 miles. He goes in for an oil change. This is a chain place, many facilities. They tell him he needs a fuel system flush, a brake system flush, a transmission flush, a differential flush, and a power steering flush. Okay? Now, let's start with the numbers, the money. Their cooling system or their fuel system flush is $313. There are specific symptoms associated with the need of that flush. You have to have a hesitation. You have to have a hard cold start. You have to have a hot heart start. You have to have a problem with respect to fuel economy. You have to have a problem. So if your car starts good, cold, and hot, and you're getting the same fuel economy you always have, and it's got a good quality idle, you don't need that. But they want to sell it for $313, and they never ask the customer, do you have any symptoms? They just bid it. Now, in the real world, that's somewhere between $150 and $250, so I'm kind of surprised at the $313. It's kind of outside the parameter. Brake flush. I wasn't there to look at the fluid, but I can tell you this. They wanted $180, and all over town you can buy it for $110 to $120. Okay, so that's that simple. A transmission flush. You can save $75 on their estimate of $275 just about anywhere in town. Again, I wasn't there to look at the brake fluid. I wasn't there to look at the transmission fluid. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm just going to tell you with respect to price, it's $180 versus $113 and $275 versus $200. And the differential services, it's not needed, but they bid it at $190. And then the power steering flush was $115 everywhere else, and they wanted $140. Those are easy to bid. Those are easy to bid. It's really easy to call another shop and say, hey, I've got a Chevrolet pickup truck. It's a half ton. And would you tell me what a brake flush cost? That's it. Now, is that an out-the-door price? That's the second question. Because you got brake labor, then you got brake fluid, then you got shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax. So can you give me, like, can I write my check before I leave home? That's kind of what it's all about. So it's really a matter of you protecting yourself. Self-defense for car expense. The second thing you learn is what symptom are you going to fix? And then you're going to say, I want you to write down what I need and sign your name to it. Now, ladies, I'm speaking to ladies specifically. This works really good. You take your car in for a repair, and they give you the proverbial laundry list of stuff. So you say to them, you know, I don't know anything about cars, but based on your $1,500 estimate, I'm going to have to borrow some money from my dad. My dad lives in Albany, New York. And he thinks he knows everything about cars. But, you know, I'm not sure he does. But I still need to... See, I got to run this by my dad. Because I'm going to have to borrow some money from him. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to write down on the work order exactly what it is. And I need parts and labor because he's going to ask me that. And then I need you to list parts and labor on each one of those things and then give me a total at the bottom. And then he's going to want to call you. So write down your name and your phone number. I promise you that if they don't do that, it's because you don't. That list isn't valid. Now, you can take any variation of that you want, but that really works good. The idea that Daddy lives in Albany or in Pennsylvania or in Orlando, Florida, whatever, and I'm going to borrow money from Daddy. See, that motivates them. She's going to borrow some money from her dad to have this done. Until you get to the part where Dad's going to want to call you, write down your name and your phone number, and give me everything in writing because I'm going to fax him this. That's just the way you get around bad guys. That's all there is to it. And you say, well, how does Mark know about bad guys? Well, I've been in the auto repair industry since 1979, and before that I spent almost 10 years as a policeman. So I kind of know what bad guys say and do. I kind of know what they smell like. I kind of know in the auto repair industry what they look like. And right now, folks, our industry is in shambles, and I'll tell you why. First of all, the newer model cars for the last 5 years, we used to have what we call stopping points at 30, 60, 90. So you had to do some kind of major work at 30, 60, 90. For the last 5 years, folks, all those are gone. Virtually all of them are gone. The coolant is at 100. The spark plugs is 100. The transmission is 100. The belts and hoses are at 100. And most people don't keep their cars that long. So what we've got now is we've got a fleet of cars out there that don't need any maintenance. As a result of that, both the dealers and the independent shops and the chain stores, now everybody is in the selling mode. So, and if you're not watching your owner's manual, so you can look at them and say, or you can call them back and say, I'm confused about why you say I need a transmission service at 30,000 miles. And I know transmission shops that are saying that. But you say, but it says that I do that at 100. And you're going to hear the proverbial babble from them when it comes to that. Well, in Arizona, and it always starts off with that, in Arizona. Well, what about Death Valley? What about I-10 from, what is it, Santa Barbara all the way to the Florida coast? I-10 from there to there. Go through Texas for 895 miles. It's not like Texas is Minnesota. It's not like Texas is that much different than Arizona. It's not like southern New Mexico, the El Paso area, blowing dust, stifling, what is it? Hot, okay? It's just an issue of... It has everything to do with what your manual says, and you need to look at your manual. Now, we're looking at your manual. So we're not shy about opening up your glove box and getting your manual out and seeing what you need. So it's real easy to say, we took a picture of your manual. Here's the front of it. Here's the page. And it says, you're due for this. I've put a number next to that. I took a copy of that page, and here you go. Whenever you're ready, give me a call. Isn't that nice? Low pressure, documented out of your own owner's manual, we're done. Now, only thing you finish up with is if you haven't already had this done. Now, that's your responsibility to go through your receipts to find out if you have or haven't. Unless, of course, that shop is entirely the one you trust to do your repair. So, if you're looking for a shop, let's say you don't have a shop, then if you go to marksalem.com, which is my name, marksalem.com, click on Best Car Repair Shops. Those guys are the cream of the crop. Those guys have this promise. I promise you this. If you have a dispute with any one of my shops, I have already perfected a dispute resolution process using the Better Business Bureau, of which I've been affiliated with for probably 30 years or more. The Better Business Bureau is going to send that complaint through the Auto Advisory Committee, which, by the way, I founded, along with Ruth Zemek. Together, we put that together, and now it's kind of nationwide, I understand. So the Auto Advisory Committee is made up of a bunch of auto repair shop guys that own shops, and believe me when I tell you, they have no problem in saying to one of their own, you need to pay this bill. Not too
Tom
long
is your next caller? Tom.
Not too long ago, there was one of the, I think he was the chairman. He wasn't a guy I respected, but something came up about him. So they asked him to leave the room, which is part of the rules, and they voted. And when he came back, they said, you need to give him back the money for the EGR and the labor, because that's, you were going in the wrong direction. We had a CO failure, and you're working on an HC failure, and you should have known that. And he pouted like a little girl, but he still had to pay it. So, back to my point. My shops have to go through the dispute resolution process at the Better Business Bureau. So they go through the auto advisory committee, and if the auto advisory committee finds against them, they can appeal it to a mediator or an arbitrator. But at the end of the day, if the arbitrator says, shop, you have to pay, and the shop doesn't pay, Mark Salem will, up to $5,000. So if the arbitrator says to the shop, give the customer back $2,100, and the shop says no, then two things happen. I kick the shop off my list in a very public way, and I give you the $2,100. You know what? Since 1988, and there's nobody has a referral list as old as mine, I was the first one in the state of Arizona to come up with a referral list, and I'll tell you why in a minute, because everybody called me and said, where's your shop? And I felt bad about trying to say, I can handle everybody in Phoenix, so I began to redirect them to other shops. And since 1988, I've never had to write a check. I've kicked a couple of shops off my list, but I've never had to write a check. Peter, good morning to you, buddy.
Tom.
Tom, I'm sorry. Tom, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. I have a 2006 Duramax, and I put a aftermarket tank on it, a 50-gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any programming for the fuel gauge to register correctly on that?
What brand did you put in there?
I can't remember.
Okay. We sell the plastic tank that replaces the OEM tank, and it adds significant fuel storage to a variety of cars. And I can't answer your question, but I know my son can. So you're going to call him, and you're going to just say, I put an aftermarket tank on that increased my fuel capability. He's probably going to ask you what brand you put on.
That's 2 minutes.
But the real question is this. He knows whether a 2006 Duramax has the ability to let us go in the back door of the software and change it from 36 to 50. He'll know that.
Okay.
So the chances are better than 50-50 than that we can. And there's also going to be a charge associated with that. It's just slightly less than $2,000.
Okay.
I'm teasing you, of course. So ask him those two questions. Number one, I got an 06 Duramax. I've added to it. Can you change the fuel tank level? Can you change the fuel capability in my tank? Number one. And number two, what does it cost? And the phone number, you got a pencil handy?
Yes, sir.
480-598-1234. We're open Monday through Friday. His name is Alan.
Okay.
So
another quick question, Mark.
Uh-huh.
Now, that year has the, it tells you when to change your oil and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Is that very reliable, or should I do it every, I only put on approximately about 7,000 miles a year.
Okay.
Because I drive a company vehicle.
Okay, I can tell you they're real reliable for this reason. It's called an algorithm. So they have divided your day into 10 categories. Cold starts, hot starts, 30 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, if you're like my wife, 200 miles an hour. So they have all these different RPM ranges, all the speed ranges, all the hot and cold ranges, and they look at the algorithm, and based on how you drive, they project when your oil's worn out. Those that get on the road and drive from here to New York are going to get a lot longer oil change interval than the people who just drive cold start to the bar and back or to the golf course and back. 602-508-0960 is the number. I got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have another hour of fun and frivolity right here on 960 The Patriot.
Hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. And guess who I found in the bowels of the building? What's your name, by the way?
You know my name.
Get your mic closer. There you go. There you go. Hey, a few minutes ago, we had Tom call about a Duramax, and we had Peter that had curb rash, and I told him to call Alan. So I walked downstairs. The church is having a big deal in the bays where they're doing some work on ladies' cars that belong to the church, and you're standing there.
Right.
So I figured, I'm going to have you come upstairs, and we'll just deal with those right now, because I gave him the phone number and said to call Alan. But before we do that, let me tell you about IMM Auto Service. IMM Auto Service has been in business since 1972. David, who owns IMM Auto Service, is in Tempe, northeast corner, a little south of the 202, a little west of the 101. He prioritizes your work. He offers you to-the-penny estimate. He performs only the work you need and you've authorized. He gives you a warranty. He has ASC technicians, and some of them are masters. And he works on anything in your garage, like a lot of us don't. A lot of us don't work on Swedish, Italian, or Asian, yes, but Swedish and Italian, no. Volvo, Saabs, Fiat, and Alfa Romeos, many shops don't deal with those, but David at IMM does. So no matter if you have a Toyota, Chevy, a Ford, a Chrysler in your garage, and you have a Volvo, Saab, Fiat, or Alfa Romeo, you only need one shop. That's IMM Auto Service in Tempe. Okay, question number one. Tom called in from an 06 Duramax. He put in a 50-gallon aftermarket tank. Can it be reprogrammed to read 50? Can his computer be told that it's really a 50 as opposed to a 35?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Not easily, not economically. We can write a custom tune for the truck, but that's going to get expensive for just that.
Okay, so basically, we're going to have to write a new program that's essentially the same fuel and spark delivery program, but we're going to have to write a new program and download the program and change one parameter.
Yeah, instead of change, yeah. Now, we can. It's going to be the same price whether you just do that or add some performance. So you might as well, at that point, do the performance as well. Okay. But, yeah, basically a custom tune. And we can change just that one setting, or we can change as many settings as you want.
A custom tune costs about what?
They run anywhere from $500 to $1,000 with the hardware, because you got to have something to load it on.
And if you just do a performance, would that come with the change in fuel tank
yes.
size?
Yes. Yeah. They're all the same. Whether I change one parameter or 50 parameters, they're all the same.
Okay. So if you were to buy a performance, a programmer, to reprogram it to put, add a little bit of power to the Duramax... Is it going to come
no.
with the fuel tank? Okay.
No.
All right.
No, you have to. It has to be custom. There is none that I know of that are off the shelf, quote unquote, off the shelf programming that have a fuel tank on the Duramax of fuel tank capabilities.
All right. Now you sell what brand when you up the fuel? What brand is those plastic tanks like I
Titan.
Have? Titan.
Yeah.
Okay. How many of trucks that you install those can you go in with a scanner and change
just
the fuel?
Just the Fords. Yes.
Okay, so that's the answer that I should have known, is this Duramax and Dodges are out of the question.
Yes.
On the Ford, we can change it. Give me an example from where to where.
You mean years?
No, gallons.
Well, years, actually. I can do, I believe it's 08 up we can do.
Okay.
And then gallons, they have preset, so they basically they took the Titan sizes for the crew cab crew cab short bed and the crew cab long bed, and they put them in their programming, so I can just go in there, grab that number 57 or 62 or whatever it is, grab it, and then
change it. So you
instantly.
Can do it, take a 35 off and put a 50 in there.
Yep.
Okay.
Instantly.
All right, number two, Peter, he has some curb rash on his Mercedes-Benz wheels, and when I talked about paint, he did not correct me and say they're chrome.
Okay.
All right, so first of all, if somebody's got road rash on their wheels and they're expensive wheels like this Mercedes-Benz probably clearly is, and they want to take them someplace and have them done, that costs about what?
Depending on the finish, that's going to be the biggest thing. Depending on the finish, it could be $150 to $200 a piece.
Okay. Now, he said he got a quote for $150 a piece.
Right.
Okay. I said something that may you end up not liking, but he talked, and his I wrote it down specifically, slight curb rash.
Right.
So I'm thinking, and I talked about paint, so he didn't say anything about it's chrome. So I'm thinking we put the car up in the lift, we rotate the tires, we take a sander with the 200 grit sandpaper on it, and as we rotate it, we just clean up the lip on the tires. then after that, we're going to kind of have to mask off the tires if we're going to, and we go over to Space Age and we get a can of paint that matches the paint on his car, and we just rotate the tire, spray the wheel again, and we're done.
Yeah, that could be done. When you get into custom colors, it becomes a little more difficult. If they're black or silver, that's not a problem. Chrome is out of the question fixing it here. That'll be something that'll have to be repaired, and then they have to strip the chrome, and then they have to re-chrome it, so that could get expensive. But depending on the finish, depending on the colors, yes, that is definitely a possibility.
Okay, and would that be an hour's worth of work at whatever the labor rate is from 100
to 150? Well, I have to break them all down. So you've got 80 to 100, depending on the size, just in dismounting them and mounting them, plus the time we've got in cleaning them up and materials.
Okay, so then it's 80 on and off and rebalance.
Yeah, 80 to 100, yes.
Okay, and then we got another $100, $112 in our labor rate.
$100 to $150, yeah.
Okay,
so
to do the paint.
Yeah.
And that way we don't have to mask the tires off. We don't have to mask the tires from the wheels. We can just spray the wheels.
Yeah, it's easier to put them on a, because a lot of times the tires wrap around the wheels, and I won't be able to get in there and sand them right. So what I'll typically do is just put them on the machine and spin them around and just keep my sander in one spot and get it nice and rounded so it's all kind of uniform.
You're going to put it on the spin balancer machine and rotate it?
No, I'm going to put it on the tire machine. It spins horizontally instead of vertically. So I'll just kind of stand there, keep my foot on the pedal, let it spin slowly, and keep my sander up against the lip of the wheel and just kind of, you know, roll it back and forth.
You're pretty good at fixing these wheels because you and your guys tear up wheels every once in a
while. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Most of the time on racks, to be real honest with you, but yeah, or mounting them, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we've screwed up our fair share in the repair you're talking about. Now, how many places in town fix wheels like this?
There's a couple that I know of.
Okay, and who do you now do the place you use? Will they take walk-in traffic or not?
Yes.
Okay, so let's say their name because they take walk-in. If they wouldn't take walk-in and they're only going to work as a wholesaler to the repair shop, then there's no sense in using their name. So
right.
Who is the place you're talking about?
I use Wheel Specialist when it's something that's out of our realm.
And who would the contact be at Wheels Specialist?
Wheel Specialist. I would call Curtis. That's who I normally deal with.
Okay. And Curtis, is it his dad that goes back with me 30, 40 years or his grandfather?
No, it's actually his uncle's father.
Okay.
His uncle is the owner, and then his father knew you, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. And we go back a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, you can just stay here and help me with some of this stuff. We're going to go to Kevin. Kevin, thank you for holding as long as you did. How can I help you today?
Hey, thanks. Take a call, Mark. I got a 2005 Jeep, and just yesterday, driving home, I started hearing a hissing sound. I thought it was the blower. And I turned it all off, and all of a sudden I realized it was the brake pedal that's making a hissing sound. Depress it all the way down, apply all the pressure, and it stopped. But then I butt it up, and it kind of makes like a squirting noise or an air, like there's air in the line. But it goes on and off, and if you get the speed, that the hiss goes away, and then slow down. It sort of comes back on stronger, the noise that it makes. So I'm not sure. Brakes are good all around, but I don't know if that's cylinder or air or if there's a brake, the ABS system going bad or what's going on.
No. Yeah, it has power brakes, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the booster leaking. The booster is, we have a vacuum line to the booster underneath the hood.
Uh-huh.
And we're sucking on the booster to give you power assist. So the pedal goes into the backside of the booster. So because you're moving the pedal around and you're hearing a hiss, it's not really the booster exhaling air. It's the booster inhaling air. So because we're sucking on the booster, we're holding a vacuum inside the booster. So you're breaking the seal at the back of the booster, and that hissing noise is actually air being sucked into the booster and not air coming out of the booster. Now, to do the booster, I want to make a suggestion to you. You're going to have to replace the booster. There's no two ways about it. This is something that we might see once in 5 years, so you're the most unluckiest son of a gun I've heard of in a long time. But you're going to have the option of buying just the booster or the booster and the master as a package, and you are far better served to do the master and the booster as a package, and here's why. If the back of the master cylinder's been leaking into the booster, it warped the big rubber diaphragm and caused a problem. That's the problem you got now. Well, if you just slide the master off and set it over here on the left and swap the booster, you've still got a master that's leaking brake fluid in the back, and all it's going to do is wipe out that new booster. So buy both of them as a point and replace both of them at the same time. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you betcha. Brake booster we'll put next to Kevin's name. And
Terry is your next caller. Terry.
Terry, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm a snowbird, and I've got a 2006 Toyota Camry. The issue I have is a couple of years ago I replaced front brakes, and I put on high-end ceramic, the best brakes I could get in the car.
Okay.
And when it sits in the garage overnight, doesn't matter if I'm here in Arizona or back in Wisconsin, as I back up, the brakes squeak.
Okay.
Doesn't bother me because my hearing's not that good, but it bothers my wife.
Okay. Well,
any suggestions on how to solve this?
Yeah, does your wife snore?
No, but I do.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say, you can tell her that the brakes bother you when you're snoring. But I'm not going to get into wife snoring right now. I'm just making a joke. I want to be honest with you. I would think that you could have somebody do a hardware kit on the rear brakes.
No, these are the front brakes.
Okay, well, do a hardware kit on the front brakes. But I want to tell you something. If the only time you hear the squeal is when you're backing out and you don't ever hear it anywhere else, I want to tell you, if you can just get past the wife, I really wouldn't spend any money on that. I can virtually guarantee you that this is never going to cause you the loss of brakes. This is never going to cause you heartburn. This is never going to cause you a dime's worth of anything. And it's most likely that you've got some really hard ceramic pads in there. It's possible that that Camry should have not had any ceramic pads in it. It's possible the rotors aren't matched for the ceramic pads. However, all of that aside, if you can live with the noise just backing out of the driveway a little bit, then I wouldn't do anything.
Okay.
Nothing. So I think there's no harm, no foul. I think you probably have a mismatch somewhere, and it's not going to cause any problems. Ceramic is the new thing. But I'm pretty sure your Camry, your 06 Camry, didn't come with and probably didn't call for. But the guy at the parts store says, hey, do you want good, better, best? You probably said best. He gave you ceramic, and that's okay.
Yeah.
All righty.
Thank you.
You betcha, Terry. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. What are you doing downstairs besides supervising the church guys fixing the cars?
Drinking coffee and eating donuts.
You're really going to admit that?
Yeah, why?
Okay, all right. I saw you, but I am really kind of proud of you, because that one lady had a nail in her tire.
Yeah.
And they were looking around for somebody to take the tire off and patch it.
Yeah.
And you actually remember how to do that.
Remember?
Yeah.
I taught people how to do that.
You taught people how to do that?
Yeah. I can do that in my sleep.
I asked around to the guys that were there, my guys, our guys, and I said, does anybody know how to use that newfangled tire machine? And they all said, Alan does. And I said, well, we can't get the tire off to patch it unless we get the tire off the wheel.
Yeah.
And about that time, you walked in, and I handed you the tire and said, here, go take this off. Did you actually take it off and patch it and put it back on?
I took it off. Brandon patched it, and
okay.
I put it back on.
Okay. What about the balance? Did you rebalance it, or did you just mark the weights?
Yeah, I marked them where they were at.
All righty. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and you know what? We have the entire Salem family brain trust here. To my right is Alan Salem, who just admitted a few minutes ago that he was downstairs while a church group was repairing women's cars for the church, and he admitted to drinking coffee and eating donuts.
supervising.
And to my left is my daughter Andy.
I was making sure that the donuts weren't poisonous and the coffee was adequate.
To my left is Andy Salem, my daughter, and she's actually running the operation, and her biggest task is
taking care of Alan.
And watching Alan.
Yeah.
Yeah, just watching Alan.
So, in essence, I'm actually running the place, right? Because if she's watching over me and her biggest task is me.
No, her biggest task has to do with the you're like that guy that's in the cartoons that walks around in a cloud of dust.
I want to talk about a cloud of dust when he just came down on break.
God, that was unbelievable.
What?
You came through that door,
okay,
and I thought someone was either shot or choking in the front office.
Probably on
donuts. Hey, there's a guy that's going to be calling you. Okay. What are you so frazzled about? I just didn't want to forget. Okay,
weirdo. I got 2 minutes between breaks, and I had two things to tell you.
Okay.
I was surprised
did
to
you
see
have
down
to
there.
Run?
I only have 2 minutes, and I had to go to the bathroom at the same time.
You have
time.
To go like 8 feet.
I had to run all the way downstairs and go into the case.
All the way down,
all
one flight
the
of
way
stairs.
Yeah. All right, you guys knock it off. I control your mics, okay?
Okay.
All right, okay. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto. He is one of the best diagnosticians I know. They've been in business since 1967. Bob at Larry Harker's Auto is well known for fast, affordable service from auto electrical, brake service, auto emissions, vehicle maintenance, but Bob is a great diagnostician. So you walk in there and you say, Bob, I've had this to 47 other shops and nobody can fix it. And that's like waving the red flag in front of a bull. So 38th Avenue and Indian School, if you've got a car nobody else can fix, I would tell you, take it to Bob at Larry Harker's Auto. All right, we're going to go to the phones first. And Andy, you can help out Morgan. Morgan, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hi. Mark. I love your show,
thank
by
you.
The way. I just have a quick question. I've recently switched to blended oil,
okay,
or half synthetic, and so I was just wondering, how often should I change my oil? Because I've heard a few different things. I know 3,000 miles is kind of conventional with regular oil, and so I was just wondering, I want to keep my car in tip-top shape.
Andy?
Yeah, I would say with the semi-synthetic, which it sounds like is what you're using, you would be good between 5,000 to 7,000 miles.
Okay.
And really and truly, conventional oil, which is probably where you came from, Morgan, I want you to think 3 to 5 on conventional, 5 to 7 on semi-synthetic or blended oil, and from 7 to 10 or even 12,000 on full synthetic. So the difference in the three oils is not only quality, but intervals. Now, how many miles a year do you drive, Morgan?
Not too many. I would say maybe 11,000 a year.
Okay. So if you, in your case, you'd have two oil changes a year if you go to 5,000 miles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do two oil changes a year, then you do them in April and October, the beginning of the summer, the beginning of winter, and that's like a home run, okay?
Okay. All right, and I have one more quick question. Do you guys think that blended oils, okay, my car is a 2006 Honda Accord, 174,000 miles. Should I be using a blended, or do you think I should be using a fully synthetic?
I think you should stay with the semi-synthetic that you're using. Yeah.
Okay, why is that?
Well, first of all, if we put in a 12,000-mile oil, then you're not going to see a repair shop for a year, and you have 100-and-some-odd-thousand miles on it, and I think that's a bad deal for you.
I think
we have too many miles, and we need to check the air in your tires. We need to, check your tires for nails. We need to do that service. And so I'm scared that we're not going to see you. Now, if you had a spring chicken car that had 30,000 miles on it, I would be different. Not only that is that you're likely to consume a little bit more synthetic in your old own engine than you would a semi-synthetic. So I would say
the thickness of the oil has something to do with it as far as oil leaks as well?
The weight. But I'm pretty sure she's in a 1030 or a, she's not in a 020. She's not in a 2020.
Right.
So you're going to be in a 1030 or you're going to be in a 1040 or a 2050, and all of those would be appropriate. But on a synthetic, we got to bring her down in weight to a 020 or a 1520 or something like that, and that's going to be a tough thing for that older model Honda.
Right.
So we're still sticking with our original the consensus, okay?
All right. Awesome, guys. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Morgan. Doug, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Hey, good. I got a spark plug question for you. I have a 2008 Honda Ridgeline. Love this car. It's just past 100,000 miles. Now, the dealer is recommending spark plugs and valve adjustment.
Okay.
Last time we were in for oil change, they had him pull one of the spark plugs and look at it. And it's a spark plug that I haven't seen before. The center electrode is pointy rather than flat like most of them have been.
Called a wire. The center electrode is a fine wire.
Yeah. To me, it looked pretty clean and okay. What should I look for in a spark plug like that as far as wear?
Well, there's going to be 2 points of wear. You have to look under a magnifying glass at the fine wire, and instead of being flat on the top and straight down the sides, it's going to be pointed, and it's going to be worn. And
okay,
it's got
mine was very pointed.
Okay, I know, but under a magnifying glass, it'll look more like the tip of an ice pick as opposed to a clean eraser square on the back of a pencil. Number two, you've been around the world 4 times. So it's not going to be dirty. It's not going to be dirty at 25,000, at 50, at 75,000. It's not going to be dirty. But your spark plugs have been around the world 4 times. I'm in agreement you are best served, and I'll tell you another thing. Those spark plugs, sooner or later, are going to gall inside those spark plug holes, and it's going to take a jackhammer to get them out. And if they bring the threads, you've just taken what would have been some cheesy, cheap bill
and
turned it into $2,000 or $3,000.
Okay.
So getting them in and out is a good time right now. With respect to the valve adjustment, here's my take on that, and you guys chime in. If you have a little bit of a clatter in the morning that goes away, or if you ever have any backfires, those are the symptoms of either loose valves or valves too tight. So if you never have a clatter first thing in the morning that goes away once you develop oil pressure, or if you never have any backfire and it would indicate a valve is too tight, then my personal opinion is I'm skipping the valve adjustment.
What does your owner's manual say as far as those two
services,
the intervals?
I'm sorry, but
What does your owner's manual say with regards to the intervals based on the spark plugs and the valve adjustment?
I would have to look at that.
That would be the place I start as well.
And I agree with him. You need to look at that, because if it doesn't appear in your owner's manual, then,
1 minute, 1 minute.
Then the question really is what do they hear that leads them to believe that? But I'm in agreement on the spark plugs, regardless of what your owner's manual says. At 100,000 miles, we don't want to dig them out. And when we dig them out, the bill gets ugly. So, all righty. Thank you very much. Thank you, Doug. Now, Frederick, Nathan, and Darren, you stay right there, because on the other side of this break, we're going to take you. But, Frederick, we're going to take you right now if we can get your question real quick.
I have a 1990 Chevy C1500. I had a head gasket leak. Before this, it ran absolutely tip-top. I redid the head gasket, put the intake manifold on.
Okay, hold your thought, because I got to be. I'm out in 15 seconds, so stay right there. And we got the initial stuff, and we're going to pick up the rest in just about 3.5 minutes. So stay right there. And Nathan and Darren, you stay right there. 960 The Patriot. My name is Mark Salem. Andy's to my left. Alan's to my right. We'll be right back. Hey, 34 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. I got to do a real spot, and then we're going to go back to Frederick real quick. Automatic Transmission Exchange has been around Phoenix since 1968. I think he's one of the oldest shops on my best car repair shops list. He does transmission repairs and replacements. He does services. He does just about anything you need. Even though you may think that every transmission needs to be replaced, that's not the case at all. Probably 1 out of 5 needs to be replaced, and the other 4 can be repaired. So if you're anywhere near Central Phoenix, Automatic Transmission Exchange is located at 40th Street in Washington, and they're now open Saturdays from 8 to 12, so they'll drive your car and talk to you for free. Saturday, 8 to 12, 40th Street in Washington, Automatic Transmission Exchange. Frederick, I know that you pulled the head off of it and you pulled the intake off of it, so move on from there.
Long story short, I broke the golden rule. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Head gaskets no longer leak. Intake does not leak. But while I had the throttle body off, I rebuilt it. I mean, it was fairly straightforward. But ever since then, while it's cold in the morning, it just wants to fall on its face. And it didn't happen before. Once it warms up, it drives like a charm.
Yeah, you violated a rule. There are 3 adjustments on the throttle body. You got the idle air control motor, you have the throttle position sensor, and then you got that infamous screw. And you have to synchronize all 3 of those. So you have to set the TPS to a specific voltage, you have to set the throttle blades to a specific RPM, and then you have to have an idle air control motor of somewhere between 5 and 10. So that's not going to be too hard, unless, of course, you've got a vacuum leak that you don't know about and the engine's having a tough time. So somebody puts it on a scanner and starts looking and finds out the idle air control counts are 0 and this motor's still idling, then we've got a vacuum leak that you created. Now we got to go find it, and it's not that hard to find. So what part of town do you live in?
I live in Peoria.
Okay. Let's see. Peoria, Thunderbird Automotive, 88th and Thunderbird. He could handle that, setting up your idle. Mike's Auto Tech, Action Auto Repair, Kurt's Auto Repair, all of those guys are up in that area. And every single one of those guys could straighten out and synchronize the throttle position sensor, the idle air control motor, and the base, what we call curb idle.
All right. I appreciate it, Mark. Thank you very much.
You bet. Nathan, you're up next. How can we help you today?
Hey, I have two totally separate issues, small issues, not really causing anything performance-wise. But the first one is my radio. It kind of has a mind of its own. Just turns off and on whenever it pleases. And the way I've kind of figured out that fixes it, at least temporarily, is I have like a rubber mallet. I just kind of smack on the side of it, and that makes the symptoms go away temporarily. But then later on, it'll turn off or back on or do its thing again. I kind of just smack it every now and then to keep it working.
You know, the fact that you're doing that would indicate that we have a bad connection, a bad somewhere inside the dashboard. How old is the car?
It's an 06 Scion CC, and I've had this issue going on for at least 3 years.
Okay. We would send you to one of two places. Your place is called what?
Cartoons.
Cartoons. K-A-R-T-U-N-E-S. T-U-N-E-S. We use them almost always for stereo systems, speaker systems. They're really good, and what they do the very best is they go into this very sophisticated dashboard and fix your problem, and they come out without all the pry marks and all the damage and all that other stuff that other people do.
Two minutes.
There's a place in Tempe that we use as well called Sounds Good to Me. Be prepared that they're going to say to you that it's not a connection at the radio, so it must be in the radio, so your cheapest thing is to replace the radio. And here are your options. You want CD, you want cassette, you want AM, FM, you want satellite, what you want. They'll handle that. But that's what we would do. We would not take your dash apart. We would just tell you, we're going to send you to somebody who knows what the heck they're doing.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate the advice there. Then there was one other one. My tire light has been on just forever. And I've had multiple tire shops look at it to see if they can figure out why the tire light won't go off even when they're properly inflated and everything. No one can figure it out, and I've done it. Like, every time I've gotten my tires replaced, I'll ask them about it. They take a look, and then it just stumps them.
Okay, well, sitting next to me is the tire TPMS, Tire Pressure Monitoring System. He helped invent it. He knows more about it than anybody else I know. He's the guru of TPMS, and we actually call him TPMS, but it doesn't really stand for Tire Pressure Monitoring System. It has to do with toilet paper, and then there's a couple of secret words. So, Mr. TPMS, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah. You said it's 06?
Yeah, it's an 06.
So you got one of two problems going on. Either you have a dead sensor. Batteries usually last about 7 years. So you either have a damaged, or missing, or sensor with the battery gone, or we need to relearn your
tire positions.
No, not the tire positions. I need to suck the information out of the factory sensors, all four of them at the same time, and then program them back into the vehicle with a tool, and one of those two things is your problem.
And give me a range. It's no less than this, no more than this.
45 to 125.
And when we talk about telling the computer about where they are, let's just pretend that we have four different colored sensors, red, white, blue, and black, okay? We need to tell the computer where they all are. Otherwise, it says, hey, your black one, or it says your right rear is low, but in reality, the black sensor it's looking at that thinks it's in the right rear is in the left front. So I heard you say specifically you check all the tires every time this happens. Well, that tells me that it's not going to be one of the tires that's low. It's like what Alan says. You got a dead sensor. You got a battery that's dead. So 45 to 125, and obviously that has to do with, are you going to break the tire down? Are you going to replace the sensor? And
well,
are you going
to that's just the labor to kind of figure it out and fix it. If there's sensor, then obviously you'll have the cost of a sensor as well.
Okay.
And spare tires typically have sensors in them as well, and that's a lot of things people forget.
Yes, we ran into that this week. A lot of people forget that sometimes your spare has a sensor. You definitely want to check that as well.
And that can cause havoc because if they rotated the spare in, then that can, if it's a full-size spare, that could cause havoc because the computer wouldn't know where that other color came from.
Right.
Yeah, or they're checking the four tires and not checking the spare, and the spare is the issue.
If that's the case, then you need to, when they pass the plate next time, Nathan, you need to put an extra $10 in there, because if you air up the spare and that light goes out, we just saved you a lot of money.
Well, I have used my spare a bunch, so that may be part of it then.
Okay, well, try it out. We know that's what will take care of it. All right, thank you very much. And we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Bill and Harry. Those are our two. If you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. My daughter Andy is to my left, and Alan's to my right. And like I said before, Andy's entire job is to keep track of her older brother, Alan. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and Alan's gone. Andy's still here with me. And this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. He's a full-service, family-owned operation. He's been in North Phoenix and serving the Deer Valley and North Phoenix area since 1983. Tom and his staff are well-known for quality workmanship, great customer service, fast turnaround time, and their technicians are ASE Master Certified, which means they know what they're doing. So if you live anywhere near Deer Valley and I-17, he's on the northwest corner, and the name of the shop is Action Auto Repair. Let's go to Bill. Bill, good morning. How can we help you?
Hi. 2002 Acura 3.2 TL. Took it to a repair facility for leaking power steering fluid. They ended up replacing a pressure hose and the power steering pump. It's still leaking. What would be the course of action other than I've kind of got it scheduled to take it back to them next week?
I would say take it back to them. Give them the first shot at making it right. That's what I would say.
Okay, let's talk about that, though. I was going to say maybe have somebody else look at it, because isn't the possibility exist that this is going to turn into, oh, well, we did the high-pressure hose and we did the pump, but now the rack is leaking, and it's because the pump has too much pressure and it's out of the old pressure, because the old pump was really tired and the new pump has high pressure, so now you're eating a rack. And I'm bothered by that.
Sorry about that. I didn't give all the backstory. The rack and pinion was replaced also.
Okay, well, they own the whole thing. They own the whole thing.
Was it the rack, the hose, and the pump were all replaced at the same time, or just close proximity time-wise?
No, close proximity. So it was rack and pinion, and then it turned into the power steering pump, then it turned into the high pressure.
Yeah, I would take it back to them.
Okay, you have to, because they own all that. Now, there is one other part, and that's called the low-pressure return line. So you got this hose with two clamps on the end of it that shouldn't be too expensive to replace, but they own this, because they've replaced everything on your car. So if you still have that red or clear amber fluid leak, they own that. So you just tell them this: with all due respect, don't spend any of my money unless you call me. I have a leak. Here's a paper towel with the oil on it. Call me and let me know when it's ready. That's the way I would handle it. Okay.
Yeah, they had replaced that high pressure hose free of charge since.
Okay. Yeah, okay. But we still got the low pressure hose. And so the low-pressure hose is two clamps and a piece of power steering rubber low-pressure line. Hopefully that's it, and hopefully they'll do that one, because the high-pressure hose is three times as much as the low-pressure hose. But good luck to you. I agree with Andy. You need to go back to them. I'm just adding something to it. They own this. This is theirs.
Right.
So, all right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You betcha. And let's go to Harry. Harry, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning there. Glad you're on again.
Thank you.
Hey, I've got a couple quick questions. You were talking about oil. Over Walmart the other day, wandering around their auto parts area, and I noticed Mobil 1 has an oil out that says it's good for a year. And I've been using Mobil 1, their full synthetic for my Honda, and it's like $26. Well, this new stuff is like almost $50, but it says it's good for a year. Now, what?
Okay.
Is this the sales ploy or what?
No, Mobil 1 is now called two Mobil 1s. You have Mobil 1 and first of all, in the caveat in the very bottom of the marketing, it says good for 1 year or whatever your car manual says.
Okay.
They have Mobil 1, which is 10,000-mile interval. Then they have Mobil 1 extended, which is, I think, 12,000 to 15,000 miles. So they've taken Mobil 1 and divided it into two different products because some of the import cars like the Audis and the Mercedes and the Porsches are saying that they can go 12,000 to 15,000 miles if you use a full synthetic. So Mobil wants to gather up that market. So they couldn't do it when they had a 10,000 mile. Harry, do you remember when Mobil 1 was 25,000 miles in the, in the early 80s?
Multi-unit. I tried
to. Yeah.
So, it cost me a motor.
Yeah, so it's really, and people don't understand, you know, that synthetic oil can be $10, $12 a quart.
Right.
So it's kind of expensive, but if you do it right, Harry, then you only do one oil change a year and instead of three. Okay, you had a second question.
One other quick question.
Go.
You had talked previously, you know, maybe a year or so ago, about a device that you can plug into your cigarette light if you're going to change the battery on your car so you won't lose all your settings.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, does that still work? I had a issue with my Honda. I left the key on and run the battery down, and all my settings are gone. I had to call Honda to find out the security PIN number so I could program it back in.
Mm-hmm.
And does that particular device, it's just a 9-volt battery, does that work with the newer vehicles?
Well, here's the deal. You left something on, which is going to take that 9-volt battery down within 20 minutes. So,
well, no, I didn't have that plugged in. I had wiped out the regular battery, so I charged it up, and I still didn't have my settings. Now, my question is, if I need a new battery and I go replace it, they're telling me I'm going to have to go through this all again.
Okay. And, I can answer your question. It's two-part, though.
Okay.
All right. If the battery won't last more than about 20 minutes, the 9-volt battery will only handle for 20 minutes. I don't want people to think that I'm going to plug in the 9-volt battery into my cigarette lighter. That way, if I leave the dome light on, I'm going to be okay in the morning, because that's not the case. We'll take that 9-volt battery down on a drain like that in no time.
Right.
We're just going to plug it into the car just long enough to pull the battery out, put a new one in, which is about a 10-15 minute deal, and the 9-volt is enough to maintain all the seat presets and the radio presets and the car presets during that period of time. So the answer to your question is, if you disconnect the battery, you have about 10 to 20 minutes with a 9-volt battery into the cigarette lighter. That's all you got.
Okay, so the older one, because I have one, but I haven't tried it. It will work on the newer vehicles.
Absolutely,
because they got a lot more stuff than they did, you know, 6, 8, 10 years ago.
No, you're right. You can use a 9-volt battery. Many of us are using a 12-volt lithium with a cigarette lighter plug-in, and we're backfeeding 12 volts to it to give us a little time, because if we have lunch in the middle, then we want to still have the problem when we get there.
Or donut.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
very
you.
Much.
You bet. Dan, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. Just a kind of a general question. I've got a 2015 truck, Toyota little four-cylinder that it's about time to put tires on it, and the wheels on this thing look like I stole tires off a Chevette from 1984, so wheels, but I'm wondering if it is possible to make any appreciable difference in fuel economy by getting lighter wheels.
No. No, I would think that whatever you spent on wheels would take you forever to make up 1 mile an hour. So I think the math is against you in every way, shape, or form. I tell you what will make the best difference is get rid of the junk in the trunk, get rid of all those tire chains behind the seat, get rid of the golf clubs. Don't carry your girlfriend around if she's
I'm going to smack them. Just don't even finish that thought.
Okay, all right. And then also air up your tires to the maximum inflation on the side of the tire, and do not use the inflation on the sticker on the door. That maximum inflation is certainly a capable number. It won't hurt you at all. And it's a lot easier to ride a bicycle when the tires are aired up full as it is to ride the bicycle with the tires flat. And if you use a synthetic oil and you keep the windows rolled up, then that's your best fuel economy situation.
Okay. Yeah, it's a work truck, so I drive more than 50,000 miles a year with it. But unfortunately, it's carrying around some weight all the time.
And that's going to hurt you, too. But if you can keep the tachometer needle closer to 2,000 RPM, that'll give you the best fuel economy, because that's the sweet spot for most engines. So keep it away from 4 and 5 when you're drag racing the Nissan next to you, and you'll get better fuel economy. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan.
All right, Mark. Thanks.
You betcha. Oscar, good morning. How are you doing?
Quickly, if you help me with this, my marriage will finally be happier, or fully happy.
Okay.
Okay, I have a 2004 Passat, and it takes about literally 10 to 15 minutes to fill up the tank, and my wife is already tire complaint and not happy. Help me, please.
Okay. I imagine she sticks the nozzle in and it just goes click and click and click and click.
Exactly. Okay. That's it.
There's a vent hose that comes from the tank. And so as we shove fuel in, we have to vent the fumes out of the tank. And right. And when we don't vent those, then it's click, 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 and it takes forever. So somebody has to go in and lift it up on the hoist and look where the vent is at and make sure it's not crimped, make sure it's not pinched, and then disconnect one end or the other to make sure that they're not blocked by something silly. This isn't a difficult one to diagnose, but it could be a tough one or an expensive one to fix.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, yes.
So I think what you do is have it diagnosed. And one of the other things I want you to do is I want you to get on the internet and I want you to query 04 Passat, hard to add fuel to it, and see what everybody else says. Because what you're looking for under the very best of conditions, and this happened to one of my customers the other day, and I have that right here in front of me. The customer called me and said, you're not going to believe this, but I actually found something on the internet, and I took it to the Chevy dealer, and I had a problem with my transmission. I found a bulletin, and then the third and fifth gear wave plate was made of plastic, and it failed. So they replaced it, and they said that with a metal one, and that warranty goes 10 years and 120,000 miles. The car is good and new, and it didn't take me any money at all. It took me a little bit of research. That's quite different than you trying to fix your check engine light on the internet, because yeah, that's different. But in this case, under the best of condition, Oscar, if you've been good to your wife and to everybody else, you might find a technical service bulletin or some kind of a recall that addresses this on your Passat. And the second thing to do is take it to the dealer, and I don't recommend the dealer very often, but they are in the best position, and most likely there's a gray-haired guy that's fixed this before, and I think because of the knowledge level about this specific problem, you're probably best served at a VW dealer.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm trying to avoid that, but it seems like that. I read some of the tutorials and some of the forums out there. Pretty common problem with this particular year. I love the car. You don't have to fix it up.
Okay. And Oscar, here's the issue. The issue is you want someone who had the same problem on a year, you know, right around yours. And
two
then
minutes.
You want somebody who absolutely can describe the repair. And that's what's missing on the internet. I got the problem, but my next door neighbor said it's this. And that's not valid. So that's the unfortunate situation. So anyway, Andy, you got it. Oh, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram. Andy, my daughter, has been posting pictures on Instagram, and if you go to Instagram and you follow Salem Boys Auto or Salem Performance Division, mm-hmm. we've got pictures on Instagram that are really weird.
Yeah, just different things. On the Salem Boys Auto side, obviously, we're doing more of the repair and things like that. So just repair pictures, different things like that. The other day, we had a straw stuck in a blower motor. So I had posted a picture of that. And on the Performance Division side, it's more your lights, your lifts, wheels, tires, all the fancy
stuff.
Neat stuff that Alan does.
Okay, so. And on the other side, it's like if not too long ago, we did
one
get
minute.
A picture of this.
One
but
minute.
A lady brought her Suburban in, and inside the air filter box, there was a huge nest of some rat that was living there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we took that picture and we posted it, but that's kind of stuff we're talking. Now, that blower motor came in with a bad noise to it, and everybody had said to her that she's going to have to replace the blower. When we pulled the blower out, there was a soda straw stuck in the blower motor like a business card on your bicycle.
Yeah, flapping in there.
And so all we did is pull the motor out, take the straw out, put it right back in.
Yeah.
So
it was actually a guy. It was a guy that came in. And he said, replace the blower motor.
He did, really?
Imagine that.
Seriously?
Yes. And we said, what's going on? Well, there's a noise coming from it. So once we got it pulled apart, then we found it was just the straw stuck in there. So I'm glad we didn't take his advice.
Oh, you just got me in a bunch of trouble. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate
Thanks
that.
Thanks for throwing the woman under the bus.
And at the end of the show, you toss me under the bus, and then here comes the train. Woo-woo! All righty. See you next Saturday here, 10 to noon, right here on 960 The Patriot.